All right, welcome back in to the final edition of the Game Blitz for 2022. We are so happy you were spending your Friday night with us when you're out in the boot all around Middle Tennessee tonight, listening on the app wherever you are in the world. Thank you so much. Big Joe here alongside Big Kenny behind the glass, Elijah Campbell down the line. The state semifinals of high school football taking place across the state of Tennessee. And as we do at the top and the bottom of the hour, a scoreboard update. All right, here we go. And remind you now, some of these games are just kicking off now in the middle and west part of Tennessee, but the eastern part, those games have started. Big games tonight, of course, in 6A, Maryville and Oakland taking place, and down in west part of the state, Beach and Bartlett. That's in 6A. In 5A, Knox West has a lead over Powell 7-6. The winner of that game gets the winner of Page and Henry County, who are just a kickoff right now over in Paris, Tennessee. Red Bank leads Anderson County 13-0. The winner of that game gets Pearl Cone and the Haywood winner. Let's hope it's Pearl Cone. We like to see these Metro teams do quite well tonight. Down in 3A, Alcoa takes on Giles County. They're just now kicking off. The winner of that game will take on East Nashville and Covington. We're hoping for an all-Middle Tennessee final, especially wanting East Nashville to get in there, another Metro team they'll be representing. Down in 2A, Tyner's taking it to York Institute in the first half. It's 33-0. Tyner leads. The winner of that game takes on Riverside Huntington. And then in 1A, Coalfield and Clay County were playing. Winner of that game takes on McKenzie and Mace, which Elijah is the Memphis School of...
The Memphis Academy of Science and Engineering.
A school that would never let me in. So that's your very short and very quick and very awesome scoreboard update taking place tonight. Right there as well. Now, we talked earlier, Elijah, for the scoreboard, beginning of the show tonight, about the games and getting things going on. What I'm interested to see, and, you know, we know Maryville and Oakland, we know the story there, and you know, Henry County and Page, but I don't know, I just, this Beach game, I guess because we can't see it, like, right in front of us, I'm very interested by that game tonight because I want to see if Beach can continue what they've done all year long to teams, just push them up and down the field, if they can do that with Bartlett tonight, and if they can, it could be a long night for Bartlett.
Oh, it could, absolutely, and that's one thing, if you're Bartlett, regardless of how good they've been this year, the one thing you're going to have to prepare for is all the different looks that Beach can give you, right? I mean, JP Courtney is a fantastic running back, and Beach used three or four different runners throughout the entire night. It's, you know, one of my favorite Mike Leach quotes, the goofiest coaches to ever walk this earth. Obviously, he likes to throw the ball 60 times a game, right? Well, someone asked about, you know, balance of offense. He's like, well, that doesn't seem very balanced. He goes, no, it is balance of offense. Like, he used to always say 50-50 run and pass is 50% stupid because then it almost makes you a little predictable. But what balance is throwing it to six or seven different guys and the teams that you're playing against not knowing who to keen in on. And it's kind of like that way for Beach. You know, they might not have to throw a pass the entire game. Four or five runners that you're going to have to look for to have the ball in their hands on every single snap. And the way they play on the line of scrimmage, the way they can dominate teams, just out physical them in the trenches, makes that easier said than done to stop. So that's one thing, not Covington, Bartlett has to really prepare for. And they're going to have more tired legs because they had to scratch and claw their way to an emotional win against Germantown last week. And Beach got to cruise in the second half against Cane Ridge to a win. So if there's anything that Bartlett would prove with a win or even keeping this thing close, would be that it is a war of attrition and a war that they are very, very good at fighting, because it is not easy to play another game after the game that they just had last week, especially against an offense that as physical as Beach's is.
Oh, I totally agree. You know, Beach lost an opening game, I guess it was to Farragut, and they've been on a tear since then. They lost
on the road.
Yeah, on the road. They went and beat Henry County in that tough environment up there, and then just, you know, they had the we talked last week earlier, you know, the toughest game they had in the regular season was Summit. And, you know, we know Summit lost so many players off that team, and that was a surprise score, 22-7. But they've just, you know, they played Smyrna in the playoff. We're talking about the playoffs is different. Smyrna played them tough. They beat Smyrna by 3 points. Smyrna scored a touchdown in the last play of the game, which kind of made that score just a tad bit deceiving. But you just see, we saw on, you know, we'd watch the games, watch the video, how, and we've talked about this, Elijah, how Beach just pushes his teams down the field, and then they'll drop back, pop, throw a 20-yard pass for a touchdown. I think it would drive me crazy to try to defend this football team. That's why if Beach and Oakland can meet up next week, you got two wing T teams battling each other. That game might be over in 20 minutes.
Yes. The game will be over in 20 minutes, and if you shot the game in black and white, no one would be able to tell that it was from the year of our Lord 2020. Okay,
right.
No one would be able to tell, and that's the best part about this. I would love that matchup just because you do have the one of the oldest offenses in the book, in the wing tee, and the two coaches whose teams run it the best. I mean, Kevin Creasy and Anthony Crabtree coach teams perfect the wing tee. Unlike any team you will ever see, if you want a clinic on how that bad boy is run, you watch those two teams. That would be that would, from an aesthetic standpoint, would be the most fun to watch. It would be to see Oakland and Beach play, just because you will get they'll empty the clip from the playbook. You have nothing else to, you know, to hold back. That one would be a lot of fun. As an old school football enthusiast, I would like to watch that game in black and white with Ed Sable narrating in the background.
We got a quick update for Pearl Cone has scored Lee Haywood 7-0. There's still 11 minutes and 45 seconds in the first quarter. Either they ran the kickoff back or they struck on the first play or they had a pick six. Either way, we thought hypotheticals here on the Game Blitz. Pearl Cone is leading Haywood 7-0. And Henry County has struck first over Page. They lead 7-0 in the 5A semifinal up over in Henry County, but over in Paris, Tennessee. But those scores, it's always got a good lead, but you look at that Henry County, Page, we've covered this team all year long, both teams, to know that that could be 14-7 in the blink of an eye.
Well, according, we had John Davidson on in the last hour to talk about that matchup, and obviously these teams played last year, and Henry County blew three separate 21-point leads in the fourth quarter alone. No one was stopping anybody in that game. So if these teams are anywhere near they were last year, which they are, both still very, very good, obviously, because they're playing in the game tonight, we are going to see a couple more scores, I would say, before maybe even the end of this segment. I think by the time we hit our break here, Joe, we might have another touchdown or two in that game. And I kind of hope it's that way, because I would love another shootout like last year. If we get anything like we had last year in that game, we will be the big winners tonight.
Oh, I totally agree with you on that, and we'll see. I'm trying to get some more updates that are popping through here right now. And, of course, East Nashville taking on Covington, and we all boys from Metro go down there and get a big win on the west part of the state. I'd love to see East Nashville make it to the finals and take on Giles County, and that'd be some fantastic football next week with that going on. We'd love to see, you know, nothing against Alcoa. Just tired of seeing them there.
They're the big bad wolf. I mean, that was the joke, you know, I made at the beginning of the season when I talked about, we're doing our season preview. We're talking about East Nashville at the beginning of the year. And I was like, well, you know, they have the rite of passage that every 3A team gets to do, and that's lose to Alcoa at some point in the playoffs. They just got to do it in the state championship. Giles County, I think, can give them a game. I think if they can just get them a game into the fourth quarter, they've been able to close out a lot of tough games. And they're prepared for this one because they've scheduled so well out of their region. They've scheduled up in so many of their non-region games, playing, you know, 4A, 5A, 6A schools, and being really competitive in those games. They were really competitive with Nolensville for, you know, almost all, for all four quarters. They were really competitive. I think that was a one-score game when Nolensville ended up beating them. And they played Page pretty well, too. I mean, that's a really battle-tested team that Alcoa is not going to show them anything they haven't seen already this season. So I like Giles County's chances of keeping it really close. It would be really impressive to see them pull off that upset, just because Alcoa is the historic beast in Tennessee, especially on the east side of the state. There's not many years in which they don't win state titles, so a win would be more than significant tonight for Giles County.
We got up to East Nashville on the board in the first half. Thank you, Jamie Holland, for the tweet. Traquan Waters with a 10-yard touchdown run. The tweeter says, a very dominating drive by East Nashville. They're up 7-0 over Covington. That's great weight, because we talked to Coach Stewart throughout the year at East Nashville. He said, we get those opening drives, we can establish ourselves, it's good. And the games we've gotten beat, we have not done that. We've played kind of scared and behind. And that's, again, they lost to Riverdale and the Smith County. And this team looks much more defined the last few weeks. Big win in Waverly they had a few weeks ago. Big win over Smith County. And that lead tonight, 7-0 over East Nashville. All right, we'll take another break. We got more scores, more everything for you tonight. Up next, we're going to talk to who I think is one of the best football coaches, at least I've covered in my career in Middle Tennessee, in the state of Tennessee. That's Coach Jeff Brothers over Nashville Christian. His football team's returning to the state championship again. So we'll talk to Coach Brothers when we come back. You're listening to Game Blitz right here on 102.5, 106 through the game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz Show, 102.5, 106.3. The game, state football semifinals across the state of Tennessee tonight through 1A through 6A. Quick update, Oakland has returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown, so they're out in front of Maryville 7-0. Now the Division II schools are play next week on Thursday, so they qualify. Their state championship will be played on Thursday. And was bringing the coach of Nashville Christian, Coach Jeff Brothers, who teams play next Thursday, I think at 1 or 2, sometime in Chattanooga. But they're in the state championship. They'll take on Friendship Christian. Coach Brothers, thank you for doing this. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Joe. How are you guys?
We're doing quite well. Talk about what you've been there before, Coach, where you had to practice during the week of Thanksgiving. There's no game on a Friday night. What's the practice when you don't have a game on a Friday night, but you got a state championship the next week? Do you throw everything in at one time, or you just gradually build up to game day?
Well, I think you build up to game day, obviously. I mean, it's not – you want to be, you know, efficient with your practices because you only get – you know, whatever you abbreviate the week, you know, we didn't do anything. On Monday, we just watched film. On Tuesday, we went through a little practice, and Wednesday as well. The Thursday morning, we got up, had breakfast with the team and their parents, and went out and did a little Thursday practice and, you know, turned them loose for, Thanksgiving. And then today, and we'll get back on Monday and have another couple of days before we head out and just kind of try to match the days up as you would a normal practice week, just with a little break in between.
That's a good football team. Every team that makes the state championship is a good football team. But that Friendship Christian team, that's as you well know, Coach, that's going to be a heck of a ball game next Thursday down at Chattanooga.
Yeah, we've got a tremendous challenge in front of us. They're undefeated for a reason. They're in the state championship for a reason. And they got a lot of, you know, quality players and, you know, good pieces at quarterback, running back, receiver. They got a really aggressive and physical defense and offensive line. It's going to be a great matchup and a great game, and hopefully our game plan is what we need and we can execute it well and give ourselves a chance.
Talking to Jeff Brothers, coach of Nashville Christian. And, Coach, one of my favorite things about your team is I had to go ahead and double-check this, that you guys did drop the first two games of the year, and ever since then you have done nothing but win. What's it been like watching your team kind of grow in that process, learn from two early, really tough, close losses, and be able to turn the season around and find your way back in Chattanooga?
Yeah, I mean, it's been exciting to watch this team, you know, mature. And I think that's the main word I would use is that, you know, we started the season replacing a lot of starters from last year's state runner-up team. And we had to replace 8 starters on the offensive side and I think 7 on the defensive side. So we knew it was going to take some time for them to grow into their roles and us to find the right combination of guys. And, you know, the seniors in this class have really led us well. They've been a picture of, you know, consistency and poise and just sticking to the plan and trusting, you know, as they say, the process nowadays is a big thing. But we had to just be patient and decide and determine what our best options were going to be in the lineup and what our best schemes were going to be to match our personnel. And it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun. This team has a lot of joy playing football, and that's what's been the most exciting is just to see them enjoy the time together.
Mm-hmm. And we'll do a take it back to last week too. The win against Jackson Christian, putting up 54 points in a state semifinal game is quite the statement. And winning in the fashion which you guys did against a really good football team is mighty impressive. But what did your team do so well in that game from an execution standpoint? And how is that something that you think can carry over into the state title game?
Well, you know, offensively, we stayed patient until we could figure out, you know, how we wanted to attack their schemes. Defensively, we gave up an early touchdown, but at the same time, just kept our composure. And they were giving us some, you know, as most teams will, give you something that you haven't seen on film. So you have to be ready to adjust your scheme to that. And, you know, I thought our guys, through the course of the year, have really developed that ability to stay composed and to just, you know, it's a 48-minute game. And so it's going to take, you know, a little bit to figure out just sort of the nature of the opponent and then try to, you know, scheme your way into some success on the offensive side and keep them, you know, at bay on your own defense. And that's what worked for us last week. I think our guys really played physically. I think the conditioning that we have and the ability to score in all three phases has really been good to us this year, and we're going to need that next week certainly.
We're talking to Jeff Brothers, head football coach at Nashville Christian. And, Coach, in high school, you played for the great Carlton Flat. I played for the great Wes Elrod at McGavick. You start a freshman quarterback. I'm not sure Coach Elrod or Coach Flat ever started a freshman quarterback, but that just shows you how the game is involved, hasn't it?
It very much shows that. I think, you know, kids are starting to understand the game a little bit earlier. They're starting to certainly work physically on their skill sets, you know, differently at younger ages. And Coach Ladd was at one of our earlier games this year and came out on the field before the game. And I said, you know, Coach, I'm starting a freshman quarterback. And his response was, wow, you didn't have anybody else. So, you know, I think that tells you sort of the way the mindset has changed. I never thought I would have one just based on my experiences. But, you know, Jared is a different guy. And he's got an exciting future ahead of him, and certainly right now he's performing well also.
When did you know that he was a special young man? Was it a certain play or a certain moment? Did he pick up a certain coverage? Did anything stand out to you that you knew was like, you know, I got something special here?
Well, in that first game at FRA, he did not start the game. And as the first half progressed, we were just unable to get things going offensively. And so we put him in at one point and just, you know, kind of let him get his feet wet and see what he did. And he made a couple of plays in that game. One scramble play that was really, you know, an exciting play and showed his ability to extend the plays and run the ball. And then a little bit later in the game, we had a concept call that he had to read some coverage, and he read it just right and threw the ball exactly where it needed to be thrown with a lot of pace on it. And we caught it and ran for a long touchdown. So at that point, you knew he could play, and he could handle the situations that came to him. And it's just been really fun to watch his growth, you know, on the field. But, you know, our team around him has been really good, and that's been, you know, key for him to be successful too.
Coach, last one for me. Obviously, your team had the tough loss in the state championship last year. And for the players that came back, obviously, you had some big losses coming into this year. But how much of that game from last December was a motivating factor over the summer and getting your team ready for this year? And how much of the experience of going on the road to Chattanooga, playing in that big stadium and with the stakes that high, how much has that been discussed amongst you and your team?
Well, we talk about it on occasion. You don't make that the primary focus going into the season, because every year is different. Every team is different. All the opponents are different from where they were last year. And so you have to treat them each individually, you know, differently than you would have coming out of last December. But I think our seniors at the end of that game, they would tell you that they sort of collectively said, you know, we didn't feel like we finished that well. And they dedicated themselves to preparing their bodies physically, preparing themselves mentally and emotionally for the grind of this season. And they just led our team extremely well. And so that's been fun to watch. And coming out of the loss last December, certainly it's a motivating factor to get back there to do it right. You know, credit to DCA. Last year they outplayed us and they got the championship. But this year I think our guys committed themselves from that moment to doing everything in their power to give them an opportunity to get back there. And we've done that. And now we've got, you know, if you, I told them last week when we left, we got 4 days left as a team and we want to finish this well. So it's exciting, and I'm happy for these young men that have worked so hard to get to this point, and we'll see if we can't put it all together.
One final question, Coach. How many state championships have you been in as a coach, assistant coach, and a player?
Oh, gosh. Well, I was in three as a player. I was in two as an assistant coach, and this is my third one as a head coach. So I don't know what that adds up to. I can't do that.
If I do my McGavick math, that's eight.
Okay, eight. There you go.
You never get – it's like one coach told me about going to a bowl game. He said, there's never a bad bowl game. There's never – you always earn and respect getting to the state championship, and you always love the fact, the journey getting there, don't you?
Oh, man, every team is special. I mean, thinking back just to the days when I played and, you know, all those guys and all those memories we shared, and then as an assistant to be a part of those staffs that, you know, I was a part of the staff that was at CPA for our first championship. I was a part of the staff at Brentwood Academy, and let's see, it was Brentwood Academy in 95 as an assistant, CPA in 2000 as an assistant, and then it was a 15-year stretch before we got back there as a head coach, and so that gave me a special appreciation for just how hard it is to get there and how much work goes into that, and you have to get the breaks and you have to stay healthy, and to see the excitement on the guys' faces and in the community is, you know, it makes it all special every single time. You can't compare any of the experiences because they're all so different, but you know, getting there is something something that's very difficult to do and a very special memory for everybody involved, and we're excited about that. And we got a big challenge ahead, as we talked about, but if we can get that done, you know, either way, what a special journey this has been with these guys.
Fantastic. Coach, as always, we appreciate your time. Best of luck next week, and we'll talk to you soon, Coach. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate y'all.
Jeff Brothers, head football coach at Nashville Christian. Big game next week versus Friendship Christian. All right, Elijah, you texted me an update with Beach, right?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, we were talking about when dissecting the matchup between Beach and Bartlett, what Bartlett's going to really have to do is you know, recover their legs, recover themselves emotionally to be able to defend this wing T offense in which four or five guys can take it to the house at each point. Well, Beach has already scored twice. They're up 14-0 on Bartlett right now. I'm trying to dig back and find the video because these updates are coming in fast and furious, but the Bartlett's already thrown one interception pick, I guess, on their first possession. They threw an interception. Beach brought it back down about the 3-yard line, it looks like, and they punched it in. And then on the next drive, they get a 3 and out and get the ball back. And then a 56-yard run from Darius Johnson goes to the house. So with 5:58 to go in the first quarter, the Beach Buccaneers already up 14-0, and that wing T is already doing some significant damage out there in Memphis.
I love that. I'd hope Beach just goes in and just rolls over them. And I'd love nothing more than that big 6A final next week between Oakland and Beach. All right, we're going to give you a top and the bottom complete scoreboard update for you. All these scores starting to roll in now. We got some surprises for you, so we'll tell you all about that when we come back here in just a few moments. You are listening to The Game Blitz, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy, right here, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. All right, welcome back here to The Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We got you till midnight tonight. That's right. This is our final show of the season. 15 shows on Friday night from 6 to midnight. We so appreciate everybody that's listening, all the nice comments and emails and tweets. We really appreciate you guys this year for taking us in on a Friday night and having such a good time. Big Joe here alongside Big Kenny behind the glass, Elijah down the line, and it's time now, bottom of the hour, scoreboard update. All right, here we go. These scores are Middle Tennessee scores in the first quarter. I'll let you know where they are. All right, first quarter, Maribone Oakland tied at 7 in 6A. Down in Memphis, Beach 14, Bartlett nothing. To 5A, Knoxville West leads Powell 7-6. Henry County over Page 7-0. That's in the first quarter. To 4A we go. Red Bank leads Anderson County 13-0. Pearl Cone up over Haywood 13-7. To 3A we go. Alcoa 7, Giles County nothing. East Nashville 7, Covington nothing. To 2A we go. Tyner over York Institute 33-0. That game is in the third quarter. Do not have a score in Riverside and Huntington. Also in 1A, Clay County over Coalfield.
7-0.
Oh, who's winning that game?
That one is Riverside up 7-0 on Huntington after 1.
Thank you, buddy. Good job, Elijah. And then in 1A, Clay County over Coalfield 12-0. That to me is a bit of a shocker. Coalfield is a pretty good powerhouse, but Clay County says not tonight. So there is your very quick and very simple scoreboard update we got for you. It's short because it's the semifinals.
Wow.
There we go. Anything stands out to you so far, Elijah, from that scoreboard update?
A couple things. We have some updates from the update. Beach is now up on Bartlett 21-7 with 28 seconds to go in the first quarter. So within that commercial break, Bartlett scored, and then Beach had another 56-yard touchdown. Darius Johnson has two separate 56-yard touchdowns in the first quarter against Bartlett. Beach is getting everything they want on the ground. And then an 18-yard touchdown rush for Haywood gives them a 14-13 lead over Pearl Cone with 6 minutes to go in the first quarter. So that happened literally as you were reading that off. But, yeah, I think the biggest surprise for me, Joe, is Clay County up 12-0 on Coalfield. Now, Coalfield has been an absolute buzzsaw. We haven't got to talk about them as much this year because they are in kind of the east-ish part of the state. Morgan County kind of straddles that east-middle line there. But if you go back and look at a lot of Coalfield's games this year, they've been blowouts. They don't play a lot of really close games. I believe they are still part of that vaunted Elijah Campbell undefeated club.
Ooh.
One of the better teams in the country. Actually, I think they might have one loss. They played a team outside of their classification. But in the playoffs, they have just given everyone the business so far, pulling up exactly what they or who they played last week, I don't think they've played hardly any close games. Yeah, Coalfield right here, Region 2, 1A champs. Yeah, they beat Unica last week 55-12, beat North Green 56-6. Their only loss is to Gordonsville. They did have that shocking loss at Gordonsville, 42-21 earlier in the season. So I guess that loss seemed like a fluke to me. But, I mean, Gordonsville lost to Clay County twice this year. Most importantly, last week where Clay County laid the lumber on them. So maybe that was more of an omen than I should have predicted this a little better. But the way Coalfield's been able to score at will against every single opponent they've played this year makes a 12-0 game seem a little surprising, because the only time they've even had a remotely close game outside of the game against at Wartburg, which is a game, an intertown game there. They're in the same county. 14-6 game to start the year. They have had multiple 40-plus point wins. They have not played in many close games, and the only time they have gotten hit in the mouth like this in the first quarter, they got beat by 3 touchdowns.
I love the fact that I've lived through the state most of my entire life, and so the first time, I don't know why, but I'm laughing at Wartburg. I don't think I've ever heard of that.
Never heard
place.
Of Wartburg?
No, and I don't. I should have. Yeah,
that's where I learned how to drive. My dad would take me out to Wartburg because there's no one there.
That's why I heard about it.
I would get to go drive out because it's close to Jamestown. So I would we'd go out to Wartburg, and my margin for error is much greater in Wartburg, Tennessee, than probably anywhere else we could have gone. So we'll always just know that place is where I learned how to drive.
Oh, nice.
Fun fact.
Yeah. What is that in Morgan County?
It is in Morgan County. Yes, sir. Right where the central and eastern time zones meet.
Is that more north of 40 or south of 40?
North. Yeah. Okay. Definitely more north of 40. Close to Kentucky. Very close to the Kentucky border. That triad of Fentress, Pickett, and Morgan County there, right underneath the Kentucky border.
I've told people for years I'm going to run for president one year, like 2028, and I've got two things I'm going to do. One is to build a 14-lane highway from Birmingham to Panama City.
Now you're talking.
No nice. Speed limit. Just you get on, just you make it there. No, the fact that we don't have
Autobahn style.
Yeah, the fact we don't have a straight interstate from Montgomery, Alabama, to the Gulf Coast, like for down to Pensacola and Destin and Panama City, just blows my mind. So that would be one. And then I'm going to point you to the I'm going to overrule the governor of Tennessee and make you the state geographer. There's not a role for that yet, but you, because you know the state from stem to stern, man. You get
he's
that
good.
Job.
He's very good.
He is.
I'd like to think of myself as a modern day Lewis and Clark of Tennessee, despite everything already being discovered and well documented. I can just regurgitate
San
it.
Diego.
Really well.
Yeah, you're the best. What was that
version of that?
What was that you said about York Institute last week about the only three schools in the state that are funded by the state? Correct.
Correct. Yes. If that's still accurate, of course, I was told this in like 2010, you know, but I assume it's probably still the same way, because obviously the reason why they're still state funded is because of Alvin C. York. But yeah, it's York Institute, the School of the Blind, and the School of the Deaf, the only subsidized schools by the state government.
That's amazing.
Incredible stuff. They're in a class of their own, and the largest high school campus in America by square footage because of their farm.
Dig the details, though.
Yeah. See, I mean, you grow up there, you get to learn all the fun stuff about the place. You get to learn all the bad stuff later. Fun stuff first. Well, for your more core memories.
I think when you told me that last week about the three schools, I was like, I live really close to the Tennessee School for the Blind. And so I felt with that knowledge, I felt like I was important because you told me that.
That's right. It's a nice, if you're ever at a trivia night and that question comes up, I mean,
I should leave
School of Blind, School of Deaf, or one of the three, you know, or two of the three state subsidized schools in Tennessee. Yeah, there is. And then you got it.
I should leave that. Oh, by the way, Decatur County Riverside has scored while we were talking. They're now up over Huntington 14 to nothing. Now, is that borders us in Middle Tennessee, correct? Decatur County?
I believe that's really close. That one, when I was doing my count a couple weeks ago about how many Middle Tennessee teams were left, I had to pause. I had to really think, do we consider Decatur County, Riverside, Middle Tennessee? I did. I just went ahead and said, screw it, and we're going to count them middle. But they definitely, I think, is borderline middle west area.
Well, I'm trying to pull up the Google map now. We know this stuff that we probably should have talked about in the pre-show meeting, but we didn't instead. So I'm looking. It's right on the close to the Tennessee River, I think. Yes.
You flip a coin, and whatever the coin falls on will be its East, Middle, or West classification.
Yeah, it's right north of Savannah. I know somebody in their car now screaming at us, and I appreciate that if we try to figure out exactly. But we'll claim them. If they're winning, we're going to claim them, right?
Yeah, if they lose, we can not claim them. That's the thing. That's the beauty of it. This can be as arbitrary as we want it.
It's next to Perry County. So you're on 40 going out. It's south of Camden. We'll take them in.
Those are our friends. Yeah. We have friends in Perry County. Yeah, we have a good listener base there. So we'll count. We'll take him in.
Yeah, we'll root for them. So they're up 14-0 over Huntington right now. So they keep
deal the deal.
Yeah, they keep rolling along that way and then make to the state championship. Then we'll really love them because they're 2A right now. It's a shame they won't be playing York Institute, though, if they make it to the finals because Tyner's up over them tonight.
Yeah.
33-0. That game's now in the third quarter.
Mercilessly.
Yeah.
So all this means is if Riverside holds on, then I'll flip the coin for them whenever they play in the state title game. So my allegiance can be bought and won over.
Riverside, by the way, and I know our signal goes pretty far west of Nashville, so they're probably listening to us, which is great. Thank you. Riverside in the playoffs knocked off Loretto 56-31. They squeaked by Mount Pleasant 18-13, and they got by Lewis County last week in that very tough game 33-26. So they've earned their stripes to get where they are in this state semifinal game, Elijah.
Team of destiny feel, right? When you win that many close games and you kind of get some good breaks to go your way, or in the instance of the Lewis County game, I didn't expect them to win that game at all. I figured Lewis County was the team to beat at that part of the bracket. So whenever they won that game, they won it as close as they did. It does kind of have a little bit of a team of destiny kind of feel to it.
Yeah, I think it's great. So we'll claim them here on the Game Blitz. Like we do, we love jumping on bandwagons, and so we will jump on any bandwagon team from Middle Tennessee that's making the way into the state championship.
Absolutely.
All right, we will take another break. We got more with high school football with you till midnight tonight. As soon as the scores and updates come in, we'll give them to you right here on the Game Blitz. Brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy on 102.5 The Game and 106.3. All right, welcome back here to the Game Blitz. So 102.5, 106.3, the game with you till midnight. Big Joe alongside Big Kimmy behind the glass. Elijah Campbell down the line. Get things going. We're going to bring you the scores as you come rolling in. Update, Haywood has just scored again. They lead Pearl Cone 20-13. That game now into the second quarter. That's a lot of points, 33, that were scored in the first quarter there, Elijah.
Yeah, Joe, I hope you took the over.
Maybe I didn't. We'll find out.
But really, though, I mean, like they're all big plays, right? Like everything that I've seen has been like a 50-yard run for, I guess, the last score. Kamarion Miller, 36-yard run. There was a couple 40-plus-yard passes. I'm trying to find the other one here. Got a lot of really good updates. I know Joe Spears at Joe_Spears7 on Twitter is at that game, is providing a lot of really good updates. An 18-yard touchdown run. Before that, Darius Reed got a 41-yard pass, an incredible pass, fade towards the corner of the end zone. And then he had a filthy double move for the first score of the game. That was it doesn't have the yardage here, but that looks like it's at least, 30 yards out on a pass play to Darius Reed. He's got two of their touchdowns, but there's been a lot of big plays here. It's going to be a battle of red zone defenses. These defenses are obviously going to bend. Who refuses to break the most against these really talented offenses? So that's one thing I'm really looking for here as that game progresses, because 33 points with a minute to spare in the first quarter means you are on track for some serious fireworks.
You are. What are the odds? By the way, Clay County scored again. They're up over Coalfield 20-6. That game in Clay County. Now, is Clay County High School, is that in Salina?
Indeed it is. That is in Salina, Tennessee. Very small town.
What are the odds that we have you on the show as a co-host and all these teams for the Upper Cumberland have these fantastic years and you know all about these schools?
Coincidence? I think not. It's a year of destiny, Joe Doom, and that's why. The land I like to nicely tab as my people are having a very successful football season. York made it to the state semis. the Upperman and Livingston region, or DeKalb County. I don't know why I mentioned Livingston. They went 0-10. But Upperman and DeKalb County and Macon County, all of those teams had a really good season. Stone had a really good season. They were a really fun region to keep up with this year. And then obviously what Clay County is doing is impressive. I don't think Clay County has ever been to a state championship game. I mean, this has been a really big year for them, because I don't think they've ever had a football team this good. I know they've had some basketball teams that have been really good. And if you're a Tennessee basketball fan, a Tennessee Vols basketball fan, Tyreek Key, former Clay County legend, is one of the many players they've been able to produce out of Salina, usually a really good basketball school. But for them to be able to put up this amount of points on Coalfield and hold them to six, this length in the first half,
right,
mighty impressive. They could be in a state championship football game, something I would not have predicted at the beginning of the year at all.
I love this. I pull up Clay County, Tennessee, Wikipedia, and there's only 7,500 people in the entire county.
Sounds about right. I think the school, I've got, you know, Donovan Stewart's fantastic preview guide every year. It's got all the schedules and everything. And what my favorite thing that he does is he includes the school enrollment. And I love to look at that when comparing teams and comparing a lot of these schools. Let's see, Clay County enrollment for this year, 309. There are 309 wow. kids that go to Clay County High School.
Wow, that's
remarkable.
Yeah, that's why they're in 1A. But there's a great picture of the courthouse, and I, you know, again, you know, I know we're doing the show here, but that's another place that if we weren't here tonight, I'd love to go see that game in the state semifinals in Clay County, where I don't think they've ever been. Do we know this? Have they ever been to the state semifinals?
They've never won a state title. Okay. I don't know if they've ever been to a state semifinal they've only won 10 playoff games in their school's history. Went to the playoffs last year. Last year, they lost to South Pittsburgh in the second round. Of course, South Pittsburgh went on to win the state title. So I don't think Clay County ever has, actually. This might be the farthest they've ever gone, and I think this would be the first time they've ever gone to a state championship. If anyone's ever, or if anyone that's listening to this is a Clay County alum or has, you know, family in Clay County that knows this, I would love to know, because I highly doubt they've ever gone to a state title game in football. Basketball, like I said, men's and women's basketball, different story, but not so in football. This would be a remarkable game, and I bet that place is bumping right now.
Absolutely.
Small stadium. Very scenic, though. It's definitely out kind of what some people would claim is the boonies, but it's out in the middle of nowhere. But it is a pretty backdrop. It's, you know, all the foliage, all the trees in the backdrop. Like, it's a really good backdrop because it is very secluded.
I will take the boonies over being stuck on 440 any day of the year, because
it's much quieter. Yes. It is much quieter and better for your sanity.
Right. I'm stuck on 440 constantly, which, you know, and they redid 440. It's just as bad as it was 10 years ago, but that's for another show and another time. Oakland, by the way, has scored
6 hours on that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oakland scored from Maryville. They're up 17-7. Maryville's driving the ball on the 20-yard line in the second quarter, 6.5 minutes to go. Oakland, two big plays that happened. But Maryville, I'm watching the game, Elijah, has had no problem going up and down the field against Oakland, which was a thing that Kevin Creasy was praising his defense last few weeks. But last week, Blackman kind of exposed a few things and dropped 23 on him midway through the third quarter until the defense got a hold of that. But they're up by 10 right now, Oakland is, so not much of a problem right now on that. But Kevin Creasy was extolling his defense last week about how great they've played. And they have. They've played really well down the stretch. And if you've only given up 7 points in a quarter and a half, you're playing pretty good football.
You are. And a fun X factor this game, Jacob Taylor. He is 1-for-1 on field goals tonight, 38-yarder. Not many times you'll have a kicker as a finalist for Mr. Football, but that kid's a weapon. He's a weapon. And right now, so assume Maryville finally finishes this drive off in 17-14. The difference in this game is that Oakland was able to get points on a drive in which they didn't punch it in the end zone because they have a kicker that is almost automatic from within 40 yards. That's remarkable. That's certainly an edge that I don't think any other team in the state has at that level.
Alcoa just scored on Giles County. They're up now 14-0. And that should be my other platform I run for president. The big 14-lane highway from here to Panama City, and Alcoa is not allowed back in the state championships again. How many – you got the book there, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but how many has Alcoa been to straight?
Oh, I don't know how many they've been to. I know they have won 20 in their history. They have 20 state championships to their name. I think Gary Rankin has 14 of those as the head coach at Alcoa. So I think he has 17 total. I think he had 14 as the head coach of Alcoa, and then three when he was coaching Riverdale in the 90s and early 2000s. Let's see. I'll go look it up, at least see how many playoff games they've won, because that's got to be a ridiculous number, right? All right, let's see. Alcoa, 20 state titles, and starting in so 2009, 10, 13, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. So they've won every single year since 2015. And since 2010, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Great radio. 9 titles since 2010. 9.
Oh, that's just like every time they are there, you look up and they're there. And, you know, it's well-deserved because Gary Rankin was the coach there. But that's so well-deserved to do that. Scoreboard update for real quick. East Nashville scored again. Elijah, they're over Covington, yes. 14-0. Pearl Cone has scored. They did not get the extra point. Haywood leads 20-19. That game just a minute into the second quarter right now. And then Page has come back. They now lead Henry County 14-7. And we've talked about that Page offense with Coach Rathbone at Page. Once they get rolling, yep, can throw the football, they are very hard to stop. And right now, Page up on Henry County 14-7.
And it sounds like they're having a lot more success in the early portion of this game compared to last year. We talked about in the opening hour that they didn't, when we were talking to John Davidson, that they did not have a lot of success from set plays and their regular offense against Henry County. Henry County dominated them at the line of scrimmage earlier in that game, and it was when they kind of went to a different style of offense later on and made some adjustments where they were able to score at will. They're able to score at will early. And after giving up an early touchdown in that game, the defense sounds like they've been able to settle down a little bit. And this could be a game, if you get three or four stops total, or maybe even two or three, that could be the difference in winning this game. So if it's a great response by Page to go 14 unanswered after falling behind very, very early in that game.
I agree. And I hope East Nashville keeps rolling and can knock off Covington and get to that state championship game next Alcoa. And you've talked about all year long, you know, Pearl Cone's on their revenge tour. It'd be nice revenge for East Nashville as well to take on Alcoa in, yep, that 3A game and without Gary Rankin. But it looks like Alcoa, though, hasn't missed a beat. They're 12-1 and still rolling and
insane,
handling a very good Giles County football team right now.
You want to hear another fun Alcoa stat?
Yes.
Their playoff record all time, 125-15. As a school,
that's
in the
amazing
playoffs, they are 125 wins, 15 losses.
That is unbelievable.
Well, that was coming into the season. So that actually now was 126, 127, 128. They're 128-15 now.
That's,
sorry,
I'd
update the numbers here.
That's amazing.
There's not many, if any, programs in the country in private or public school divisions that have that level of dominance amongst all their competition, regardless of the classification they play in.
Oh, Clay County scored again. They're now up over Cofield 26-6. This is why I don't bet. I know it's high school football. You don't bet on high school football, but here's why I don't bet. I would, because Cofield's been such a dominant force for years and years and years in high school football, especially in 1A. I would have taken them, no doubt. But Clay County, you know, the whole town's there. Salina is shown out tonight, Elijah, and Clay County now. It's
20, I love that.
26-6, and there's 3 minutes to go before half.
Isn't that remarkable? A remarkable showing. Let's go. I'm gonna go back and look at some of Caulfield's results this year. Scored 14 in the first game, 55, 55, 46, 68, 21, 49, 40, 50, 42, 56, and last week 55. They score a lot of points, Joe Dubin. They have been held to 6 points so far tonight. What Clay County did in Clay County last week against Gordonsville, I think held them to what, 6 points for the entire game? Or at least 6 points until garbage time, at least. They did not give up hardly anything against them. Actually, against Gordonsville, I don't think I did not have that written down. But, yeah, I think it was 6 points. It was a very – like, Clay County took them to the woodshed. That Clay County defense, what they have unlocked in the last 2 weeks, is on another level in 1A.
All right, if we were going to – okay, you're Mr. Upper Cumberland. If we were going to leave Nashville – and do a Frank the Tank with the team in the city of Salina tonight, just have a great time going down the by the courthouse. How long would it take to us get from Nashville to Salina?
Ooh, okay. I know from Cookeville to Salina, it took maybe an hour. I believe it's probably going to take you 2 to 2.5 from the station to get to Salina, Tennessee.
Wow, I'm looking at it now. Cookeville Strip, do you go to Livingston and then over? That takes forever. That's like 5 days.
It's all backwoods too, man. Oh. It's all back roads, baby.
That's like 5 days by yak, man. Maybe we'll get him next week.
That's a fast yak.
When they get the state championship. All right, we will take a break. Coming up next, we'll get the scoreboard. We do the top and the bottom of the hour. It's a state high school football semifinals across the Volunteer State tonight. Some great games that are going on. We'll give you all the scores coming up next. You are listening to the Game Blitz, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.